Well, it's good to be back for one last night, at least this time around. And I'm just excited. I live excited. You know, God's for us. It's exciting times. And, you know, it's funny because I'm going to speak on something tonight again. It's kind of who I am. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir tonight in some ways because I believe you're living it. But how many people understand? Many times we're living something on one level and God wants us to live it on another level. Come on now. And it doesn't mean that we don't have it down, but it does mean. No, I missed that one. pulled my little Jesse. You know, have you ever noticed Jesse smiles bigger than he is? Come on now. Yeah, I always call him God's anointed leprechaun. He looks like he belongs on a Keebler box, you know. But you're doing this a lot with me, huh? Yeah. I'm not posing. Okay. I didn't break the camera yet, you know. You should be taking pictures of my feet because I got beautiful feet. Face, not so much. But the feet, we're good, baby. We are good with the feet. But I was, you know, God began to deal with me on that one of the next moves of God is going to be an extreme, extravagant generosity. That honestly, it's going to open the realm to all sorts of things. I believe that. And it was funny because God was laying it on my desk. And you think about people that, you know, you don't really want to have on your tombstone, here lies stingy. Come on now. You know. But you know, I made it, you know, a mother many times will smile a baby into smiling. That's actually scientific. The babies learn how to smile because of the mother's smile. You know, what I found out is God loves us into loving and gives us into giving. Come on now. And the very nature, the biggest giver in the church is always God. So the biggest giver should never leave the church. Come on now. You know, but God so loved, he gave. I'm glad it didn't say God so loved, he took. Come on now. Because honestly, there are givers and there are takers in this life. Come on. And one of the bad situations about the church is the church is known for being stingy. It really is. Ask any waiter. You know, the people they don't want to see are the church people. And that's sad because that's honestly, you know they're religious people because faith people, if you understood giving, you get excited. Because anytime Jesus taught about giving, he was actually teaching about receiving. Come on. About having an opportunity. But let's look at Proverbs 11. I'm going to have some fun tonight. Like I say, two things kill more churches than anything else, staph infection and cirrhosis of the giver. And what I found out is if you're a giving church, you may go through hard times, but God gets you through. Come on now. And many times you're amazed. You know, there are times I'll look and I go to these places and I think there's no way if I keep going places like this. I do better sometimes at the places I didn't think I'd do well in. Come on. And then I go to the mega churches and it's sad. I was just recently with a mega church pastor and he said that only 20 to 25% of his people ever give. And he has, and they have over 10,000 people in every service. And I'm thinking, you're not teaching them right. You should offend, you can offend them, half of them would leave and you'd be a lot better off. Come on now. But Proverbs 11:24 says, there's one who scatters yet increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what's justly due but results in want. Let me tell you something. Poverty is not, you know, it's not caused by the cash you don't have. Sometimes it's caused by the cash you do have that you're not supposed to have. You know, think about Ananias and Sapphira. It wasn't that they didn't give. but they withheld more than was just due. Come on now. There are times in my life God will say, do this thing. I have a relative that's deceased and was a very wealthy person, biggest giver in the church, but didn't tithe. But he felt justified because he gave more than anybody else. And he died a broke man. In fact, I told him he was going to die a broke man. I said, you got a thing with holes in it. He said, but I'm the biggest giver in the church. I said, not in God's eyes. The biggest giver in the church is the widow woman over there that is given out of her need, but she's being obedient to God. Yeah. Come on now. See, generosity has nothing to do with how much. Yeah. Come on now. It has to do with the heart of what you're giving. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the greatest test comes, prosperity is the greatest test you'll ever have, because prosperity will ruin the fool, because the fool will stop, giving. It's like that man who at first tithed all the time, and it kept getting bigger and bigger. He came to his pastor, and he said, Pastor, I don't want to give too much. I'm going to stop tithing. And the pastor said, okay, can you mind if I pray for you? And he said, Lord, I pray that you'll reduce his income to the place where he can tithe. Come on. It's one of those things. Is this okay? See, the Message Bible says the world of the generous will get larger and larger. Do you know in the Bible there's about 500 scriptures that mention the word faith? There's about 500 scriptures that mention the word prayer, but there's over 2,000 scriptures that are given on giving. Come on now. In fact, Jesus taught more about giving than anything else because he understood you can't serve God in money. And the thing that will keep you from serving money is to be generous. When you recognize it's all God, you're never giving away your stuff, you're giving away his. Come on now. I have no problem giving away his stuff. In fact, I have no problem giving away your stuff. Come on now. I'll give it. If I don't like it, I'll give it to somebody else. If I like it, then it's harder to give it, but I still can give it. If you give it to me, it didn't cost me much. Come on. Is this okay? See, God's extravagance, he's rich in mercy. Come on. His mercies are new every morning. He's rich in grace. His grace far exceeds the sinfulness of man. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Come on now. God is just, he's a giving God. Come on. See, our personal generosity is a demonstration of our understanding and revelation of God's generosity. I'm part of a church right now that, we attend on a regular basis. And the previous pastor fell in that church. And at the time, it was running about 4,000 people. And they were building a new sanctuary, and they were over $7 million in debt. And when this pastor fell, 3,600 people left the church. So my friend, who's not very bright, no, I'm just kidding. Well, but he said it. He said, God had to look for someone stupid enough. No experienced person would take it, so they had to get someone that didn't know any better. And he said, he took over. He said, here I have $7 million worth of debt. I have 400 people. We have a half-finished building. Now, we had a little room on the side that the church met in. But the whole city could drive by every time and see half of it finished building. And he said, the first thing I did is he said, God, if we're going under, we're going under giving. And he said, we just purpose to give ourselves either under or over. Because in the natural, there's no way we're going to make it anyway. And the good thing is the new sanctuary is built now. We're back up to about 2,000 people. No longer $7 million in debt. Things are beginning to God turned it around, but it required someone to offer God something to work with. Come on now. And I found out everywhere I go, I just want to be a blessing. You know, it's funny because we put this into our son. That, you know, we taught him seed faith. We taught him tithing. When I first came into church, I tithed so things wouldn't break down. I never tithed in faith. I tithed in fear, the fear of the Lord, the fear of what the Lord would do. Come on, which means I didn't understand God that much, but I did understand that if I tithe, my stuff would last longer. That he would rebuke the devourer. In fact, I remember, you know, back in those days, you couldn't give online or anything, so before I left on vacation, I run by the church because I was afraid to drive outside the city limits. You know, if I was gone the week, I'd come, I'd slide my tithe check under the door of the church. So I said, God, okay, you saw that. But it worked anyway. It worked according to my faith. I didn't really receive a lot of benefits, but nothing broke down. Come on now. Does this make sense? And when my son was, we taught him early to be a giver. I believe one of the reasons he's so prosperous is he actually has a gift of giving. And, you know, I mean, when he was young enough, he understood. He tithed off of everything. Then one day, he was like 7 years old, and we're noticing everywhere we go, people are handing him money. I mean, we'd go to a shopping mall. He'd be walking around, and adults would come up to him and say, I think I'm supposed to give you this. And some of them were large gifts. So I asked him, I said, Joey, what is going on? He said, well, Daddy, he said, about a couple months ago, the Lord told me not to give 10% but 20%. So I've been double tithing ever since then. He said, all this stuff is coming my way. Now, honestly, if God doesn't tell you to do that, you go by the leadership of God. It's not required. But if God tells you, he's setting you up, you know? And now he's set up. I'm so happy now that he's making a lot of money. He's writing big checks, and guess what? It's no big deal. He loves it because he understands. When we're going to college, you know, he was going to, you know, applying to universities, you know, Wash U, when they contact us in Cornell, they gave both the same, pretty much the same offer. And he chose Washington University in St. Louis. But when they contacted us, when they mentioned what they were willing to do, it was very, very generous. But still wasn't my budget. I realized, okay, we have this much put aside, and this is what God told me I was supposed to pay on his education, and the numbers didn't add up. So I told Joey, I said, don't make a decision yet. I'll call him tomorrow. He said, that was on a Thursday. And he said, Daddy, I don't want you to call him tomorrow. Call him on Monday because I got to do something first. And Sunday, he planted a seed for favor. I called up, and I was ready to negotiate in a sense. The moment I called them up, I said, you know, this is a little stretchy, it's a little bit. They said, what about this number? And the number was lower than the numbers I had in mind. Come on now. But I believe his seed made a way. Come on now. I believe we need to trust God. Come on. You can't serve God in money. It didn't say you can't serve God in the devil. Because if it said that, we would say, no way, I'm going to serve the devil. But guess what? If you're serving money, you're tied to the devil's system. Come on. You know? What would happen if we ever just got super extravagant in our giving? What would happen if we honestly believed the windows of heaven would be open? That we would have way too much. You know, one of the things that I love doing more than almost anything is my son, he's picked up generosity, I believe, from watching me. I honestly believe that. Now, I can't give what he gives anymore. I could when he was a baby. You know, but not anymore. But, you know, when I go to restaurants, I don't know, almost every time I go, you know, they got used to it. Many times the waitress would come back crying. or just said, man, that was extremely, extremely generous. And my wife would always ask, what did you do this time? Come on now. And I literally would go and try to be the biggest blessing I could be to them. Because I know a lot of them were either single moms or struggling people. And I just, you know, I wanted to help them. And my son, many times, you know, it got to the point where he'd always look at the credit card thing after I paid it. He'd grab it to see what it said. He said, Daddy, you know how much that was? I said, yeah, don't tell Mama. But, you know, he got to a place where it became almost a running joke. But you know how many people we've led to the Lord in restaurants and things that we, when you treat people nice and they don't expect it. In fact, they're not used to Christians treating them nice. I was in a situation and I just want us to be the most generous people we can be. And sometimes it's not even with finances. Sometimes it's with your time, your energy. Come on now. You know, I mow the lawn of my next door neighbor when she was a single mom, she'd look the first time when she moved, she said, what are you doing? I said, you're a single mom. You got a 5-year-old boy. You shouldn't be out here mowing the lawn. And she was shocked. But it impacts people. I was in Oakley, Kansas. I was preaching, and at the end of the service, this person came up to me and gave me a Pentecostal handshake. I'll never forget that one, because this was actually my favorite, my biggest tip ever. And I didn't even give it, in a sense. I did, but I didn't, because this person handed me a wad of bills. I thought they were $1 bills. I always say thank you. I never look at what it is. I said thank you, and it was my last service. I didn't even look at it while I was there. I'm driving down the road, I pull out the bills, and they're all $100 bills. They're 7 $100 bills. I thought, that's pretty neat. And the moment I saw it, the Lord said, that's not yours. He gives seed to the sower. And I got even more excited because I was able to give away someone else's stuff. And it would make me look good. Come on, like the big giver, you know. Hey, you know. And I didn't have to tell them. So I went to the next church, and I was preaching in Colorado, and every service I'm looking around who to give the money to. I said, God, just show me. Show me, and it's burning a hole in my pocket, and God did not show me anything. And I kept thinking, God, you told me this is not my money. I'm not trying to steal. I just want to get rid of it because it's not mine. Come on. So at the end of the last service, we go out to a restaurant. I'll never forget going out to that restaurant because we walked into the restaurant and nobody would serve us. The restaurant was empty, a good steak place. But they're about, you know, all these waiters and waitresses, and they're all standing around. We walk in, and they're talking. I'm not serving them. I'm not serving them. I'm hearing them. And I'm thinking, what is going on? So I called the youngest waiter because I figured he might come. I said, you get over here. I said, what's the problem? He said, you're church people, aren't you? I said, yes, we are. He said, we don't want to serve you. So we just had a group of over 30 people. They said the bill was around $700 there. It was a decent steak place. And he said they left us a $5 tip. Now I know the purpose for the money in my pocket. So I look at the guy, I said, look at me, read my lips, I'm rich. I said, I'm rich, I want you to wait on me, I'm going to treat you really, really, really well. And I'm loaded. Well, I had 7 $100 bills, come on now. And I knew I wasn't even paying for the meal. So I knew that would be the least amount he would receive in that tip. Come on. And he didn't know it yet. But, you know, he loosened up as we joked with him because he wasn't used to preachers joking around. Come on. I was having a good time. Well, he's having a good time. I told the pastor that was with me, I told him, I said, hey. I said, when he comes back with the bill, I can either lead him to the Lord or you lead him to the Lord, but he's already ready. We hadn't even given yet. He said, you sure he's going to receive Christ? I said, yes, I am. He said, then I'll do it. And sure enough, I mean, by that time the restaurant was refilled with people. And the pastor asked him, he said, do you want to receive Christ? You know, Jesus died for your sins. We had already talked a little bit about it. He said, do you want to receive Christ? And he falls on his knees in the middle of the restaurant. And you know, we were going to lead him in prayer. But he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, come. And he's yelling. I mean, I'm thinking there, I'm almost going to pay him to shut up. Yeah. But, you know, it's a pretty neat thing. And then he's crying, and he runs back, you know, but he left the bill that, you know, on the table. And I told the pastor, I said, you can buy the meal, but I'm leaving a $700 tip. Because the church ripped this guy off. I want to make sure that they know that not all God's kids are that way. And I said, you don't need, I'll just take care of the tip. And the pastor said, you're not just going to take care of the tip. So he opened up his wallet, emptied the cash he had. I mean, we left $1,300. And the bill was like $160. We left a $1,300 tip. Well, this guy comes back. As soon as he sees the tip, he starts crying again. I mean, he's messed up now. He just said, he said, this is way too much. I said, no, I told you I was rich. Come on. I said, my father's rich. I'm rich. He said, you mind if I give it to my girlfriend, some of it, because she was the one that got really ripped off. I said, where is she? He said, she's over there. I said, I don't care what you do with the money. It's yours. So he calls her over. Well, she starts crying. And the moral of the story is they asked, they said, where is your church? I said, well, I don't go, but this is the pastor. They've been in church ever since. They were living together when we gave the tip. They're now married, serving God, you know, everything. It was the best investment we ever made. And I don't know how many times, come on, generosity has opened the door. You know, and I don't know how many times stinginess is what makes people leery of the church. Come on now, mean, stingy people. Come on, you know. I used to hear my pastor say, if he can get through you, he'll get to you. And I believe that. You know, how many of you understand? The reason God asks for 10%, you know, for the tithe, is if he doesn't want you putting him on salary because he doesn't work for you. The 10% means partnership. Come on. So you are partnering with God, and literally when you prosper, he prospers. Come on. It's to God's advantage if you're a giver that you prosper. It's to God's advantage because the kingdom will prosper. Come on now. You're going to get a hold of this. You know, God wants us. He wants us to prosper and be in health. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Come on. Not only does he own the cattle on a thousand hills, he owns the hills. And there's new hills to take. And you know, but God has a system, give and it shall be given to you. With the portion that you give, it's returned. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't understand. I'm not getting harvest on my seed. Maybe you are. Come on. You sow sparingly, you don't have to beg, do anything, you're going to reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. If you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. Come on now. You know, I'm looking for people to bless. I'm just looking. I'm not going to bless laziness or anything else, but I'm going to bless people. The goodness of God will lead man to repentance. I want to show them that my God, my Father's a giving God, and I want to be just like him. I just want to be a giver and giver and giver and giver because, you know, I found out happy people are givers. And if you're giving, your kids will be affected by your giving. I believe Joey's a giver because I'm a giver. And I believe his kids would be givers. You know, he understands that one thing. I remember, you know, years ago there was a contest at the library. And one of the reasons I think that God has showed himself so strong on my son's behalf was he was preparing him for a ministry of giving. But I'll never forget that. He came in my office. He said, "Daddy, I can't wait to get to church now today." I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm going to plant a special seed." And he said, the library, they have this plan that all the people that read a certain amount of books, they have a grand prize. And there's only one person that wins the prize. There's going to be about 30,000 people involved. He said, "Daddy, God told me I'm going to win the prize if I give this gift." And I'll never forget that. Because I didn't want to discourage him. In fact, I was thinking, how am I going to get that prize for him? I even called the library and said, "If I buy you a second prize, don't tell my son, but call him up and pretend that he won it." They said, "We can't do that." And I said, "God, I mean, he's going to be so disappointed." And, you know, he gave that gift. It was like 6 weeks later, they were doing the drawing. And I'll never forget when they called from the library. And I've been dreading it all this time. And they called from the library. I answered the phone. They said, "Is Joseph Woodson, is Joey Woodson there?" I said, "Yes, he is." They said, "This is the library." I said, "Really?" They said, "Really?" I said, "Joey, there's a call." He said, "It's the library, isn't it?" I said, "Yes." He gets on the phone and he said, "Where do I pick up my prize?" That's all. He didn't even say, ask them what it was about. "Where do I pick up my prize?" They said, "Well, this, how did you know you won?" He said, "I knew it weeks ago. I won it." You know? And God was just proving himself over and over. And God says, "Prove me. Come on now." And he will actually put something on your heart where you are proving God. Come on. And I think sometimes we get into such a rhythm, we no longer stretch. Come on. And as your purpose in your heart given, there's nothing wrong with being in the rhythm of giving, but there are moments God wants to interrupt the rhythm. Come on now. And I know when everything is collapsing around me, that's when we give the most. I had a situation where it looked like we were going under. I mean, everything was dwindling. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, "I want you to give so-and-so." I said, "It's not a good time." I said, "Lord, you know, 3 months ago, that'd be great. Right now, not so good. Because I would only have this little bit left." So, you know, and God always wants to be our source. Come on. And I couldn't get him off my case. Oh, I can tell you, you know, when the first times that happened, we saved up for 5 years to take a second honeymoon to Florida. 5 years. Took us 5 years of saving. But we got there. And I told my wife, I said, "I don't want to go to church the next month." I said, I've already budgeted the tithe. I'm going to send the tithe. I don't want to go. She said, "Why not?" I said, "Because Pastor Billy Joe is going to share on something. It's going to be some project. And God's going to touch my heart. And I'm going to have to give our Florida trip away." I said, "I am not doing it. I just don't want to go." I said, "You know, I'll listen to it. I'll get the CD," or back in those days it was cassette tape. "I don't want to go." She said, "You got to go. You're on staff." I said, "Oh, okay." So I remember going there. It was like first Sunday that I'd said it earlier that week, "You get whatsoever you say." I'm sitting in the front row. He shared something. I don't even remember what the project was. I just begin to weep. I was weeping for two reasons. Because I know that it was a great project. Now, my heart was going into it, but my vacation was going into it too. So, you know, and back in those days, you know, we had no debt and we weren't going to have debt. So when I gave the amount, which was huge for us, And I remember looking over at my wife, hoping God wouldn't talk to her. Because I'm crying. I said, okay, Lord, if you don't talk to Pam, I don't have to give it. It's the woman you gave me. So I looked over. I said, honey, she said, give it all. Oh. I hate when she died. Well, obey God. That's her favorite words, obey God. I love her because she says obey God, but there are times I don't like her when she says obey God, you know. So I remember, I put the thing in the offering, and the moment I did, faith came. All of a sudden, I just knew that I knew that I knew. In fact, we're walking out. My wife looks at me and says, now cancel the vacation. We can't borrow money for a vacation. I said, we're going. I said, if God wanted the money, he can get it back to me. And I knew it. And you understand something? We never had people. We had a fixed income. That's why we were in a fix. Come on. We never had people give us anything back in those days. Never. I mean, it was just not that. You know, we got what we earned, but we weren't used to it. I mean, I'm on my way out of church, and people are stuffing bills in my pocket. You know, by the end of the month, we had a lot more money than we had set aside for the vacation. So God paid for the vacation. But see, we proved him. Come on now. And I'm challenging you that if God leads you into something, it's not for you to be subtracted, but he's going to multiply something. Come on now. He'll multiply the seed sown. He will set you up. Come on. You know, and guess your generosity will not only bless others, it will bless you. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. What would happen if we always were looking to give? What would happen if we're always looking to bless and lift people? You know, I'm learning more and more and more that God wants to give us increase. But the way he does it is he can't increase unless our heart's right. And literally, he wants to put a giving heart in every one of us. And you're giving. What would happen if people looked forward to you showing up at the restaurant? You know, every restaurant I go to, and I go to most of them over and over and over again, they fight to see who can wait on us. Even waiters and waitresses that don't get a chance to serve us that time, they'll come around the table, talk to us. You know? We just went back to St. Louis. We had been there. My son was speaking at the university. And he graduated last year. We haven't been back since that restaurant. He used to eat there several times a week. When we went in there, it's like everybody stopped. And the restaurant was full. Everyone came over at once. We haven't seen you in a while. We haven't, you know. Yeah. And it was like old home week. See, I want my life to be that way. Come on now. Where people actually like to see me coming. Come on now. Where they know, hey, this guy's all right. This one's all right. He's the real deal. Come on. You know, he actually cares. Amen. You know. I believe, what would happen if we all got generous? What would happen if we would find ways to reflect God? And guess what? You know, your giving reflects your heart. And it also, you know, it also affects your heart. Come on. When God wants to stretch you, many times he will stretch your generosity. And you know, in Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, charge those that are rich in this world. And most of us in America think that's Donald Trump. You know, that's Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. But you know something? Chances are, if you live in America, you're rich in this world. Come on now. You may not be rich in comparison to Americans. You got indoor plumbing. You got toilet paper. Trust me, I go overseas. You have electricity? And when I come home, I just load up on toilet paper. I just load up. I do. I hug the charm and because when you don't have it, works a lot better than leaves. Come on now. Come on. But see, money is a great servant. It's a terrible master. You know, you can use unrighteous mammon and infect people's lives. Come on. It's a great tool. See, I want to be like the woman with the alabaster jar. I want to be that. I want to be the person that was an extravagant gift. But when she took that perfume in Mark 14 and broke the jar, it represented at least 1 year's worth of wages. 1 year's salary was poured on. In fact, the disciples were indignant. They said this should have been given to the poor. But you know, it wasn't very long after that Jesus was going to the cross. People were spitting on him. You know, people were cussing him. They could still smell the perfume on him. Think about that. It prepared him. It prepared him. It actually prepared him and encouraged him into, you know, fulfilling God's will. And she says, long. He says, anywhere the gospel is preached, that woman's going to be remembered. You know, there are very few things God looks for. Sometimes our worship will get his attention because he's looking for those that will worship him in spirit and truth. But guess what? Even unbelievers giving gets God's attention. Cornelius wasn't a believer. He was a good man, but he wasn't a believer. And so God took note of his giving. Come on now. God took note of his giving. Not only that, think about Jesus. When he went to the church, he did not comment on the praise and worship. He didn't comment on the preaching. But he watched the giving, and he commented. Guess what? He's still watching the giving. He's still commenting. That's good. They thought they gave a lot. They didn't. But that's good. That's why the widow's mite got his attention. She gave more than them all. You know? Do you imagine Jesus staying up here and we're taking an offering and he's watching you? Come on. Think about how important giving is. Think about the little boy's lunch. You know, number one, mama didn't know that she was packing a miracle. But she gave the little boy the lunch. When the disciples saw the little boy, he said, well, hey, Jesus said, does anybody have anything? He said, well, yeah, we got five little loaves. And actually, they weren't loaves of bread. They were little tiny wafer type things. Because his name wasn't Bubba. Come on. He's a little boy. And two fish. Two minnows, actually, probably. And Jesus said, bring them to me. And you know what he did? He blessed the boy's offering. So I want to give something to God that he can bless it and multiply it. Come on now. I want him to be so impressed. Come on. That we're giving what we have. Does this make sense? And that he actually can raise up to the Father and bless it. Said, this is the type of offering I can bless. Come on. You know, I want to stretch you because God's stretching me now again. You know, and we're givers. But he's starting to stretch me again. And I keep thinking, God, you know, I'm going to have to actually believe you for more. And it's not about me. Come on. Does this make sense? See, I don't know about you. But with God, payday always comes. It may not come on Friday. It may not come on the 1st. It may not come on the 15th. But payday always comes. You got to understand that God's not unjust to forget your labor of love. He's not unjust to forget the seed you sowed. And your seed has a return address, your return address on it. Come on now. So God knows exactly where to send a harvest for the seed you plant. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need to begin to understand that literally it's God's way. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Come on. God wants his kids generous. God wants us to be walk around blessing people. God wants us to be able to do things. Come on. And have stuff. Many times God will get stuff to us just as seed. You know, recently at a church I was at, I mentioned that I was sharing on what we're doing in the, some of the ministries we support in the sex trafficking thing. And this couple, they I noticed the lady was crying while I was talking about it. She went over, talked to her husband before she came up to me, and she said, "We got to do something. Talk to my husband. We want to plant a seed." I said, "Do you want to write it to our ministry?" I said, "No, this is the name of the ministry." I said, "I'll get the check to them." But it was a major seed. I wanted to have a part in it. At least I wanted to send it. Come on now. I send it with our giving. But this month I said, "God, I want to give more, but this is what we can do." Well, all of a sudden, what we can do just expanded. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe God looks at the heart. You know, when you're a giver, it's amazing what things begin to take place. You know, it's possible to be generous and even still be poor by the world standards, but God doesn't look at what you don't have. But what I think he loves when we sow generously, and he loves when we give hilariously. Come on, cheerfully. I found out something. The happiest part of the service should be given. Should be. You know, I get frustrated at times because I'm not in town that often. So my wife gets a chance to either do the giving and I don't do a whole lot of things online. She does. You know, I keep up with the Amish when it comes to technology, but, you know. But she does a lot of stuff online, and so she'll do all the giving. But when I'm in town, I do it the old-fashioned way. I actually write the check. I can't wait to get to church. I mean, it's funny. I may be the only one that puts anything on, like, in the thing because everyone else is either texting it or, you know. But I can't wait. It's like, come on. My son, when he's in town, he has his checkbook. He probably writes 10 checks a year, and it's all to the church. Everything else is automatically, but he loves doing it. You know? Why? It's a highlight. You know, I was at a church one time. I'll never forget because they asked me to preach there. And the year before I had gone there, and they were the cornflake kids. I did everything to get an expression out of them. I got nothing. I mean, if you're alive, breathe. You know? You know, I told them, I said, "I invite all of you to come to the altar," and nobody came. I said, "If you love God, sit where you are." Well, they all lied. They did sit there. You know? But I couldn't get, and I remember walking out of there, and I told the Lord, I said, "Never again, never again, never again." So a pastor calls me up, said, "My people love you." It's kind of like the first time I preached in Alaska. Pastor told me, he said, "Our people never laughed so hard in their lives." I said, "They didn't laugh at all. I was there. They never laughed. They said, no, they don't laugh in public." They said they all went out to their cars. Well, he changed the culture, thank God, because next time out. But, you know, this case, I went back. The pastor called me, said, "We want you to come." I said, "I'll pray about it." Well, I really wasn't going to pray about it. I said, "Lord, you don't want me to go there." So I went to my office, and the Lord said, "Go there." I said, "Are you going to show up this time? Because where two or more are gathering your name, there you are. Only I was there last time. You didn't even care to show up. Come on now." You know, I said, "If you're not showing up, I'm not showing up." He said, "I'll be there." Well, I got there, and the first service was just as bad or even worse than normal. You know, the most excitement was the guy snoring in the third row. And I'm thinking, you know, and I'll never forget, I'm thinking, "God, you promised to show up. I'm stuck here for another 3 or 4 days. And I said, Lord, this is awful. And the pastor, he said, well, we'll have Brother Woody take his own offering at the end. I don't like doing that, but I decided to do it. And I'll never forget that. Because I got up there and I was just going, say, hey, you know, give if you want to, type of thing. Whatever God tells you to do, I was kind of fed up anyway. And I got up there and I called the offering attendants up. And I saw a glory cloud come in. I said, God, you're a little late, but you showed up. I know exactly where you are. I knew exactly where that. And so I told the attendants, I said, get over there, stand on this side, because they couldn't see anything yet. You know, stand. And as soon as they got under the cloud, the Spirit of God hit them. They went, ha! And one bounced off one wall, one hit the other wall. I mean, one was wearing the offering plate. The other one was on the ground having a silly grin on their face. And I'm thinking, all right, all right. I said, now we're going to take an offering. Since they can't come to you, you need to go to them. And we're going to have one, we're going to play a game and see if any of you can get your offering in the plate. And usually when they got within 10 feet, they're laid out everywhere. Now, this is a move of God because you got to understand they were dead. They were literally dead. And all of us, they're rolling holy rollers. I said, whoa! You know, took an offering to wake them up. Come on now. Think about all the times in the Old Testament where people gave an offering and then the glory fell. Think about all the time. Extravagant. Extravagant. I put on Facebook, you know, most people want, you know, a lot of people want to praise like David praised. Some people want to dance like David danced. But few people ever want to give like David gave. Because when you look at 1 Chronicles 29, he talks about all they provided for the temple. And he said, and over and above because of my delight in the house of the Lord. And he tells all the gold, all the silver, everything. And in today's market value, it was at least $1.5 billion in a special offering. That's giving. He was a man after God's own heart. Now, God, he had nothing when he came to God. So it was all God's anyway. But he was willing. Pour out. See, whatever you have to give, he gave it to you anyway. Come on, we're not taking another offering. Don't get nervous. I purposely didn't do that because I'm not manipulating. I'm trying to instruct. But you know, after David gave, he turned to his mighty men. Now you got his mighty men were the three D's. Think about them. There was everyone that was discontent. It talks about, you know, everybody that was in debt. What was the third D? I know it's around there. Discouraged. So you had the 3D people. When they came to the cave, they were discouraged, they were discontent. Sound like most churches I know. And in debt. Now he said, what are you guys going to give? That was his 400 mighty men. And they gave, according to what 1 Chronicles 29 said, about $2.5 billion. Come on. You know why? I believe why they were there is they were generous. You know, some of the wealthiest men in the world are very generous people. Some of them aren't even saved, but they're very generous. You know, you start studying some of the great businessmen like J.C. Penney and some of these others. They're all tithers, Rockefeller. You know, many of them got to a place where they didn't even take any income because all their investments were producing, so they were just giving away everything. Come on. And, you know, no matter, and they kept giving themselves into prosperity. You know, and not only that, everyone else is getting blessed because they're blessed. Come on. That's a win-win. God wants to bless you and make you a blessing. See, God can't give you true riches if you don't handle the unrighteous mammon. Come on. When you're faithful in little, that's what I always tell people. You know, someone asked Brother Hagin, they said, what's the number one characteristic of a leader you look for in a leader? And he said, generosity. I would have thought he would say faith. I would have thought he would, you know, say man of prayer. He said generosity. He said, because if they're not generous, they will stop the move of God. Come on. I found that to be true. Everyone I know that is very successful are major givers. Everyone I know that honestly are very happy people, that even if they don't have much, they're givers. Come on. Why? Because it gets your focus off of you, and you're not your source anymore. Come on. Does this make sense? See, I've learned that. See, I want to stretch it because I want this church to be known. When you show up someplace, everyone's happy to see you. Come on now. Will you treat people nice? Come on, you talk to them. You bless them. You look at things you can do for them. See, we always like to say, God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and quote Philippians 4:19. But the whole context is this church sowed into me over and over and over again. You know, they were just, out of any church, they were the ones that kept giving and giving. And the Philippian church, the whole book of Philippians is a book of joy. And he said, those that have partnered, my God shall supply their need. I've learned that. You know, I remember years ago, I was going to the grocery store and about ready to check out several years ago. And I was in the express lane because I'm always in a hurry. I don't know. It's a New York thing. Yeah, it's like when you buy a car, well, all I do is check the horn. You know, my son, when he bought his new car in California, it was the funniest thing because he took me with him, and he said, Daddy, I want you to be with me. So I was with him, and we went to this huge Toyota dealership. There's like 100 Camrys. He wanted a Camry. And the guy said, do you want to drive them? He said, no, I want to sit in them. So he literally sat in like 50 cars before he said, this one sits right. The guy said, and he said, now get it out. He was right in the middle of all of them. So they had to move all the cars. He drove it around the block, bought the car. And the guy said, why didn't you want to drive it any further? He said, I've already been in your traffic out here. You don't drive, you sit. This one sits right. So, you know, but I've learned, you know, that you just keep going forward and forward and forward, and God keeps blessing. Come on. If your giving doesn't affect you much, it won't affect your harvest much. Come on. You know, you might as well throw your seed, but don't just throw it away. You can cast your seed on the water, but expect it's going to come back after many days. See, it's the many days that throw people off. You know, you can get to a place where all of a sudden all your seed starts coming back in harvest form almost at the same time. Then you get into a cycle. It's such a blessing cycle. See, over and above giving produces over and above living. And going back to the grocery store thing, I'm going through this lane, and I'm about ready to go out. I'm going out, you know, quickly, and the Lord stopped me. He said, I want you to see something. And I saw this lady, and she's paying for her groceries, and I looked in her face. And how many of you understand, if you've ever been at a place in your life of severe pain where you needed to be comforted, and you were, you recognize that pain in others. See, a lot of times people don't recognize things because they've never been around it. They don't even know what to look for. But I looked in the lady's face, and when I first got married, I did all the grocery shopping because we had this situation where our finances were very limited. We didn't have a credit card. We have limited cash. And many times I would buy groceries and we'd have to put some groceries back, and my wife was too embarrassed in those situations. So I'm looking at this lady's face and I see the look. And I heard the Lord say, "Remember how you felt." And he said something to me, and he said, "If you will help those that were in your position, you'll never have to go back there." And I looked over there, and the first thing I did was I ran over and I told the cashier, I said, "I'm buying their groceries." And the lady said, "You don't have to buy all my groceries," because she had to put some back. "Just these." I said, "No, I'm buying all your groceries." And I didn't know what it impacted, because I did that almost every time I go in. I look for somebody. And up until that point, I'd shopped there all the time. Everyone knew I was a preacher, but no one ever opened up to me, even though they knew I was a preacher. They knew I was a nice guy. But when I started doing that, I mean, it wasn't long before I go in and the cashier would pull me aside. "My marriage is having problems. Can you help me? I have a son with cancer. Can you pray for him?" And all of a sudden, I started ministering to the people at the grocery store. And it wasn't long before I got a phone call from the owner of the grocery store chain. He said, "I've heard that you're ministering to my people." I said, "Yes, I am, sir." He said, "Do you mind? We have 16 stores in the state, and we have a lot of employees that have problems. Can we send, if you're in town, can we send them over to the store near you, and will you minister to them?" And that's opened up a whole different realm of ministry, but it started with an act of kindness. It started with giving. Come on. I found out so many things in my life have started with giving. Because I don't know about you, I needed a lot of help to get to where I am today. And a lot of people stood in the gap for me. You know, they bridged the gap. Now I'm trying to look for genuine things, not con artists, not people that are using the system, but people who honestly need help. And we're doing what we can do. Come on. Is this okay? Because I believe when the church starts meeting these needs, we can have revival. Recently, and I'm going to pray for you in a second. This okay? I want to stretch your heart. Because, you know, recently, I know you guys said you went through a teacher strike. We went through one in Oklahoma just a while back. And the schools were shut down for about 10 or 12 days before they re-signed, and teachers did. And be honest, the teachers were underpaid there, at least where we were. They were. But, you know, when our church heard about it, the pastor, I mean, They announced it on Friday. By the time he was there on Sunday, he said, "We're going to do something." God spoke to me. He said, we are opening up our church. And he said, "For all you working parents out there, you don't have to stay home. You don't have to miss work. Just bring your kids. We're going to have this church set up to take care. And if you have friends in your neighborhood that, you know, bring them. And literally hundreds and hundreds of kids were at the church grounds. And, you know, some of the people dropping them off, they weren't even Christian people. But, you know, later on, you know, they started visiting the church, you know, because we were making an impact in the community. That's what the love of God does. That's what it does. I'm going to be honest with you. That, you know, the love of God is not just going to a building. It's being his hands. It's being his feet. It's showing him what the Father's like. And not even when they deserve it. My wife will get angry at me when I'll leave a big tip when the person was a jerk. She said, "Why are you leaving a tip?" I said, "Because I was a big jerk once. And God so loved this big jerk. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. God loved the hell out of me." And there have been times I have literally left a tip and the attitude was so terrible, and that person came back and said, "I'm so sorry." I didn't treat you right. I had one shaking. I said, that's God. I said, God is awakening you, because that wasn't really you. That's not the way you want to be. I said, you just need God's help to be who you want to be. You know, and we lead people all the time. And I found out God is kind on the unjust and the just. So I'm even gonna bless those who persecute me. One of my best friends, I mean, he spoke bad of me publicly. I literally, and it was all over because of the media. And I'm sitting there and saying, God, shut his mouth and all this, you know. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, judgment will be stopped. And the Lord said, send him a big offering. I said, Lord, nothing he says is true. He said, I know it. Send him a big offering. I wrote a check. And it was 2 weeks later, he calls me up and repents. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I repeated some stuff that I had heard. I didn't know anything about. I found out everything I said was wrong. And he said, here you are. You blessed me. And here I was cursing you publicly. He said, can you ever forgive me? I said, well, I did it. I said, the offering kind of helped because I knew if I was going to play the big offering, I didn't want to have unforgiveness and get no return off of it. You know, I was connected to God. But, you know, he's a good friend now. I'm challenging you, if you receive mercy, give mercy. Don't judge people when they're having an off day. I don't even judge people when they're having an off life. Come on, I'm just trying to help them. I'm looking. Is this okay? Look to give. Live to give. Come on now. And eventually you'll give to live. You know, your giving will affect your life. You know, you show respect with words, but you show honor by your finances. You honor the Lord with your wealth. Whenever I give it to the least of these, I give it to God. I never look like I'm giving it to man. God says, I've given this to you. There are a lot of people out there, they need help and they don't know it. But it's the kindness and the goodness of God that lead them to repentance. And God wants to make us the kind of people that are kind. And you know, you can't do what you can't do, but you can do what you can. And sometimes God will ask you to do what you think you can't do, but he knows you can do, so he actually asks you to do it. Come on now. You know, I've said, Lord, there have been times I've prayed. I said, God, this is the need. I would love to meet all that need. Love for you to use us. But God, this is what we got. Now, if you get it to me, I promise you, I will invest it, and I believe this is something you want done. And I don't know how many times suddenly, God will literally move heaven and earth. I said, God, I don't do everything right, but I want to get the giving thing right. Come on now. I want every head bowed, no one looking around. If you fall asleep, God give you a dream. He'll probably give you a dream of giving. A giving dream. You know, I mean, we give things today. I mean, there are moments we give more in an offering than we used to make in a year. You know, and I can't tell you how we are able to do it other than God. Can't tell you. I can't. I've never figured it out. My accountant can't tell you. He said, you can't give that much. You don't make that much. I said, well, we did. And I can't tell you. I just Sometimes it's not even the goods, it's the stuff. Property and lands and things that bless the kingdom. But how many of you tonight, is there anyone here tonight, just how many of you say, I want God to even develop more of that heart of generosity? I want my life to be I want to pour out. You know, I want to receive, but I want to pour out. I want literally want to give and give and give and give and give and give. And I want to continue to receive so I can give more. Come on. I want to bless so many people. I want to be the answer to other people's prayers. Just like when I first started, I needed people to be the answer to my prayers, in a sense. God had to, he gives to the, through the hearts of men. Come on, hands of men. And, you know, he moves people's hearts, and all of a sudden they did things for me that I didn't deserve, I didn't earn. And now I want to be that person. You know, that's being the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, lending to many, borrowing from none. It's pretty neat. But how many of you today say, God bless me to make me a blessing? He has blessed us, but let's have that blessing manifest, and let's look for areas. And we don't have to wait until we have. I remember, you know, John D. Rockefeller said, I never got to tithe off my first million until I tithed off my first $1.50. He said, if I never tithed off my $1.50, I would never have been able to tithe off my first million. Come on. And by some odd times, I'll find out, you know, he'll just say, Daddy, I broke my giving barrier. And I'm finding out these are some huge numbers now. And his earnings just keep coming up, and he just, you know, he said, I'm a distributor. How many of you want to be a distributor? God bless me. And you know, the residue's fine too, because he'll tell you to keep some stuff. But he'll also tell you to give some stuff. And he'll tell you what is yours and what's the seed. So, but if you want to be used in that way, if you want to be part of that, the extravagant giving revolution, come on now, that it literally is going to cause a revival, the goodness of God, come on. If you're going to just say, God, give me your generous heart. Give me your generous heart. If that's you, come on up. I want to pray for you. Because I just want to be, I don't know about you. You know, I believe prosperity is God's will. Because it establishes the covenant. But God wants us to prosper, not so that we can, you know, keep heaping stuff on ourselves, but so that we can help others. And I, you know, if people know me, if you look at my house, you'd think, that's not prosperity. The car I'm driving right now looks decent on the outside, but it's got 200,000 miles on it already. And the only reason I don't turn it in is it's not breaking down. I'm not turning it in, and you know. And when it does, I have the money to buy another one. That's cool. But, you know, I don't really care. You know, I have friends, they care. I don't care that much. I just, all I want. Yeah. So it's not me getting more stuff to say, hey, look what I got. Yes. It's getting more stuff to see, God, what can I give to people? You know, how can we bless people? Lift your hands up. Start thanking him for giving you. Say, Father, give me your generous heart. Thank you, God, you've given me a heart to give. You, Lord, you so loved, you gave. And God, you put the same love in me, so I give. Come on now. God, you've given me everything. And Lord, I'll give whatever you show me, since it's yours anyway. I'm a steward, God. Use me. The glory of God is on it. This, we're going to begin to become such a distribution center, where all of a sudden, God says, I can trust them with true riches. Not only that, revelation. There are things that God will do for your family that money can't buy because you're a giver. Come on now. There are things that God will do for this community because you're a giver. God can really raise the standard of an entire community as they all begin to be affected by generosity and become generous. It's amazing what God's going to do. He's about ready to break this thing off the left and the right. And many of us, we've been on one level, but God's going to take us to the next level. Come on now. Mountains are about ready to be removed. There it is. Some of us, we're on a catch. We're catching a healing in every realm, every realm, every realm, every realm. You know, I believe we're about ready to get a divine upgrade. I find that in Isaiah 60 where he talks about how your iron's going to be turned to gold. Instead of iron, I'll give you gold. And instead of wood, I'm going to give you silver. See, God has a way of doing stuff. When we begin, the stuff doesn't matter that much other than the stuff can be used to help others. And Father, I thank you for your healing virtue. I thank you, God, you're working in my brother. I thank you for a fresh anointing all over him. I thank you this is a new season. Oh, many of us. God's going to take us where no one in our family's ever been before. You know, I thought, you know, my dad created a new ceiling. Now my son has created a new ceiling. Come on now. You know, I'm so grateful when God breaks through, breaks through, breaks through. This is a season of breakthrough. It's a season where God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. That's what God does. He begins to break things open so all of a sudden the path becomes clear. And it's brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. You know, I love what he's about ready to do in your life. Because he's been stretching you every way possible. Conforming to his image. You know, our capacity increases so we make room for more of God. This is a new season. Your breakthrough's on the way. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours. Finally, finally, it's yours. He said, God, I'm getting ready to run again. I'm going to get ready to run again. Not running away, I'm running. I'm going to have the last laugh. I'm going to come out skipping. I'm going to come out rejoicing. I'm going to be able to show off what you've done. Yes. Come on now. See, there's a, you know, we've had the test. Now we're going to have the money. Money cometh. Come on now. People say, well, I don't love, you know, people always say, I love your testimonies. They say, no, you love my money. Nobody likes the test. During the test, you count it as joy. But when the money cometh, it is pure joy. Come on now. You're about ready to see this thing turned into pure joy where everyone else can see. Come on now. This is your season. And you know, as God blesses you, you just continue to bless others, bless others, bless others, bless others. And you know, I'm so grateful we don't have to defend ourselves. You know, we just put everyone in God's hands. He can handle it. Come on now. Everything we have, God wants to bless. Everything we have, God wants to increase. Everything we have, he wants to multiply. This is a season where healing is flowing, anointing's flowing, the glory's flowing. Oh, because you're a giver, you're blessed. Oh, you know, it's to God's advantage that you increase. I found that out. There's kingdom increase. When we seek first the kingdom, all the stuff. Not all the stuff that we need for ourselves, but all the stuff we need for the kingdom increase is given to us. Come on now. All the stuff. You know, there are times I go and I command stuff to come because the Lord says he needs it. Come on. I said, Lord, the Lord needs that building. The Lord needs that property. Come on. Hallelujah. You know, we were working with church in Western Pennsylvania. Our girls' home was full of girls that came out of prison. Transition house, but we needed another one. Pastor said, what do? I said, cast vision. I said, open it up to the community. I don't want you just to have the church in on it. And they opened it up, and he said the attendance wasn't what he expected. And he said there were about 30 people there. And he said they got a pledge of about 30,000, but that wasn't going to do it for the house. And then there's an old guy in overalls in the back. He said, can I say something? I said, yeah, you can say something. He said, I don't believe in anything you people believe in. And he said, well, that's nice. He said, but my niece is in prison. She's about ready to be released. And she kind of believes like you do now. And if you will accept her into your program, I'll buy you the house. So now we have another house. And it was paid for by the heathen. And guess what? That heathen is no longer a heathen. He was a heathen when he bought the house. It's been a year and a half. Now he's in church every week serving God. Come on now. As he got away from, he thought we were religious. Well, if we were religious, we wouldn't be helping people. Come on now. You know? We're the real deal, you know? And so that's it. You're the real deal. You might as well get the healing, too. You might as well run through a troop, leap over a wall. Yes. Come on now. Yes. Who said white woman can't jump? No. We release that anointing now. I know you're not going there right now. Yeah, but wait. I release. God, I ask you for a whole new knee.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Lord. She needs a replacement. We'd rather have you do it.
Yes.
Dr. Jesus.
Yes.
So I'm asking you supernaturally, download this leg. Bless everything they put their hand to, God.
Yes,
and Lord, just show them even more opportunities where you can use them for your glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, I've learned in my realm, I can believe. In my son's realm, he can believe. You know? And he told me, he said, Daddy, he said, when you get these big visions, he said, everyone I'm attached to has big bucks. He said, a lot of them aren't saved, but they will invest in what. So, see, God's going to, he's stretching. Yeah, you've had your deliverance. Yeah, it was a great deliverance. Come on now. Out popped an angel. No. But Father, I just thank you for increase. Father, I thank you, God, that God, you will supernaturally provide more and more and more and more. That Lord, she loves to bless. She loves to give. She loves to nurture. Give her the ability and beyond her ability to create an atmosphere, God. And all that she needs to see what you've put in her heart fulfilled, I'm asking you, Lord, to bring that. And give her the desires of her heart, too, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a new season. You might as well get excited, girl, because God is your source. You know, there are times I look at myself as limited. You know why? Because I forgot who my daddy is. But when I get back to who my daddy is, I can ask big because when I ask big, he says too small. Come on now. How many of you are ready for God to pour this thing out? How many of you got something tonight? Was this okay? You know, because most of you are givers. I know it. This is a giving church. In fact, you wouldn't have survived if you weren't givers. But the bottom line is God wants to bring us all to a different level of generosity. And that's the thing. And he was dealing with me. I said, God, I'm a giver. He said, no, I'm a giver. He said, you are kind of a giver. I'm a giver. Thank you, God. You began a good work. You're completing it. Your spirit, soul, body, everything, God. Everything, everything, everything's coming in line with the Word of God. Thank you for supernatural increase. And thank you, God, for restoring everything the devil has stolen and sevenfold, God, making her better than ever before.
Yes.
Lord, she's kind of a bionic woman anyway. So we might as well let this thing go in Jesus' name. Woo! I just sense that anointing all over you. You know, you know the favor of God. Sometimes you look in the mirror and say, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. You know? We all need to look and say, God's been good to, and may mention your name. And Jesse, oh, God's been good to Jesse. Well, you know, God's been good to Woody. You can put your name there. Trust me. We have seen nothing yet. Because we're coming into harvest season. And I don't know, if I know harvest is coming quickly, I'm going to start getting more and more seed in. Come on, if I know that even the late seed that's planted can come a quick harvest, you got to be kidding. Come on. I told my wife, I said, I'm almost getting on the edge again. You know, for a while I was cutting edge and it wasn't that much, but for me it was cutting edge. Now it looks really good, but I've been kind of pulled back a little bit. And now God's beginning to stir me. So I'm stirring you. And I'm saying, don't do anything that God doesn't ask you to, but listen to Him. That's all. You know, there are times I've been places and I was intending to give, but because of the manipulation, I didn't. And God said, don't sow there. I said, but Lord, I always sow it, not here. He said, you won't get a return off of it. There's other places where I've gone in. I wrote my check. And he said, write another one. Yeah. He said, that was nice. That was a nice tip. Now why don't you pay for the meal? I said, okay. Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to get out of the way before I get in trouble. I survived talking about money in church. No.